KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have 23 degrees under a clear sky here in Atlantic. Temperatures dropped 5 degrees since the top of the last hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Our forecast for today, mostly sunny skies, a high around 50 with winds southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. In Southwest Iowa News, the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said that a man from Council Bluffs had been arrested Wednesday on a warrant for violation of parole. 34-year-old William Daniel Mendez was taken into custody at around 1:45 p.m. at a residence in Carter Lake. Mendez was also wanted on a warrant for a sex offender registry violation. A Story County man turned himself into the Pott County Jail at around 1 p.m. Thursday. 23-year-old Lucas Scott Brooks of Maxwell was wanted on two Pott County felony warrants for violation of probation. He was booked into the jail. A man already being held in the Pott County Jail was arrested and charged Thursday with being a fugitive from justice. Authorities say 23-year-old Alan Calderon Reyes of Sioux City was wanted on warrants out of Nebraska and South Dakota. Reyes was returned to the custody of jail staff. And 30-year-old Jacob Harrison Updegrove of Wright City, Missouri, was arrested at the Pott County Jail on warrants for criminal mischief in the second degree, a Class D felony, and an aggravated misdemeanor charge of first-degree harassment. Updegrove was booked into the Pott County Jail. In state news, committing a robbery with a fake gun will be treated by the justice system the same as an actual armed robbery if a bill under consideration of the State House becomes law. Prosecutors, law enforcement, and convenience stores are backing the bill. Kelly Myers with the Iowa County Attorneys Association says a holdup with a toy gun has serious consequences.
That clerk doesn't necessarily know whether that gun is real or a toy. The trauma is the same. So we would like to take a narrow approach at addressing this real-life problem.
Prosecuting a faked armed robbery is difficult as well, according to Myers.
Then the perpetrator leaves, for instance, and they ditch the gun somewhere. The county attorneys have to still prove that that was indeed a dangerous weapon. Well, the clerk is in trauma. They don't know if that's a real gun or a toy gun.
At a meeting on the bill, some critics said the penalties for creating a crime with a fake or real weapon shouldn't be the same. A leading gun rights advocate said the bill needs further study to determine if it will deter crime or if it will help county attorneys prosecute someone. A proposed amendment to the Iowa Constitution on gun rights has cleared one hurdle in the Iowa House, but it's the first of many steps required before the Constitution could be changed. The proposed amendment states that Iowans have a fundamental right to acquire, keep, possess, transport, carry, transfer, and use firearms for legitimate purposes. It also indicates the courts should be strictly scrutinizing any attempt to regulate guns. Republican Representative Matt Winchittle of Missouri Valley is one of the amendment's key backers.
The proposal before us is to put Second Amendment protections into our state constitution if the voters of Iowa so choose once this gets on the ballot.
Amending the state constitution isn't done quickly. The Iowa House and Senate would have to approve the specific language this year, and then again sometime in the next 2 years before it would be submitted to voters in the 2020 election. Richard Rogers of the Iowa Firearms Coalition says Iowa is one of only six states that does not have gun rights spelled out in its constitution.
The simple amendment will ensure that these basic rights are protected for future generations and will not be affected by shifting and transitory political winds.
Tom Chapman, executive director of the Iowa Catholic Conference, says people have a right to defend themselves, but the church opposes this particular amendment.
The bishops have been very strong advocates for regulation of firearms in the past, and we're concerned that this amendment, if it becomes a part of our Constitution, would make it very difficult to have any future regulation.
Chapman says it could also lead to courts to overturn current regulations. Connie Ryan of the Interfaith Alliance of Iowa agrees.
We simply believe that it opens up a whole new can of worms of what we're talking about in the state of Iowa.
Supporters of the amendment dispute the idea that it could undo current regulations. They point to a case in Missouri where a similar amendment was just passed and where a felon lost his lawsuit to regain his gun rights. A former Northwest Iowa fifth grade teacher charged with multiple acts of sex abuse and released on bond last November is back behind bars on new charges. 36-year-old Curtis Van Dam was arrested Friday morning at his Sioux Center home on a federal warrant, charging him with sexual exploitation of a child and possession of child pornography. Van Dam has already pleaded not guilty to 146 Iowa counts, including 73 counts of second-degree sexual abuse. His trial on the state charges is set for March the 6th. Police say the charges stem from incidents involving numerous children over 4 years and that the crimes occurred at various locations, including Sioux Center Christian School, where Van Dam worked. A new trial has been set again for a Northwest Iowa man accused of fatally stabbing his sister. Trial had been set to begin January 30th for 35-year-old Thomas Bibler. He's pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder and other counts in the June 11, 2016 stabbing death of 27-year-old Shannon Bogue of Lamar's. He was arrested the day after a short standoff at his Lamar's apartment. The judge on Friday set Bibler's trial for May 15th. Previous trial starting dates for Bibler were December 19th, May 16th, February 14th, and December 13th of 2016. The latest delay came after Bibler's defense attorney said he needed more time to switch expert witnesses. Elsewhere in the news, the Iowa Department of Transportation reports bridge demolition work on Interstate 29 bridge over Floyd Boulevard in Sioux City will require closing Floyd Boulevard beginning at 6 a.m. Saturday, February 3rd, and until 6 p.m. Sunday, February 4th, weather permitting. The work will be performed 24 hours a day to minimize the length of the closure. Floyd Boulevard traffic will be asked to follow a detour route during the project. The trail for the Floyd Boulevard will be closed while the bridge work is being performed. A ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held next week for the grand opening of an $11.5 million housing facility for people and their families traveling to Omaha for cancer treatment. The American Cancer Society broke ground in late 2016 on the Hope Lodge, Nebraska, located just off Dodge Street near the Nebraska Methodist Hospital System. Lodging there will be free of charge for patients and their families traveling more than 40 miles for treatment. The ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held this coming Tuesday. The three-story lodge includes 32 private rooms with baths, sitting and television areas, and laundry facilities are located on each floor. Common areas include kitchen, dining room, library, conference, exercise game, and meditation rooms. Free transportation will be available to local treatment centers for patients staying at the Hope Lodge. A $1.25 million lawsuit has been filed in U.S. District Court in Omaha over the construction of the Omaha National Cemetery. The Lincoln Star Journal reports that Seedorf Masonry Incorporated of Strawberry Point, Iowa, has sued a Chicago construction company and the project's insurer over unpaid bills. The lawsuit says Archer Western Construction entered into a contract in 2014 with the Department of Veterans Affairs to furnish materials and perform labor for the cemetery. An attorney for Seedorf, a subcontractor of the project, says Seedorf provided nearly $3.2 million in labor and materials, but Archer has paid the company only $1.9 million. In the lawsuit that was filed last Monday, Seedorf alleges Archer and Travelers Casualty and Surety Company of America owe Seedorf $1.25 million plus interest. The cemetery opened in 2016. Well, the president of the Iowa Senate says it may not be possible to sell the state-owned Iowa Communications Network, or ICN, because no private sector buyer wants it. Nearly 30 years ago, the legislature authorized construction of the state-owned fiber optics network to provide video and data connections for schools and state governments. Senator Jack Whitfer, a Republican from Ankeny, says it may be time to pull the plug on that particular network.
Right now, we're mandating certain entities to buy coverage from the ICN at a rate that is higher than the market rate. And so I don't think that's a good way to do business in the 21st century. I mean, frankly, the days of sitting in an ICN room, when I was a kid at Grinnell, those days are over. You pull up your phone now and you have FaceTime Live. And so the world has changed and government needs to adapt to it.
Whitfer, who was elected to the Iowa Senate in 2011, has been an advocate of selling the network.
One of my first years in the legislature, we actually voted to try to sell the ICN. That was unsuccessful, but there's obviously needs to be changes there.
A recent audit found $380,000 of questionable spending at the Iowa Communications Network. It included the revelation that some state-purchased equipment was delivered to the home of the network's manager, who was fired early this month. Whitfer says it may be time now for the state's chief information officer to take over as manager of the ICN. As for selling the network itself, that's tricky, as there was an attempt 4 years ago to lease segments of the network to private sector companies.
We put it up for sale and we did not get a bid.
Whitfer says that could be a signal it's time to just shut the network down. He made his comments Friday during a taping of Iowa Public Television's Iowa Press program, which will air on Sunday. And finally, in state news, a new report on the rapid expansion of hog farms in Iowa concludes the state's regulatory system is failing to protect the environment and public health for the sake of profit by the politically powerful livestock industry. The report, released Thursday by the retired University of Iowa professors James Merchant and David Osterberg, recommends a moratorium on new construction until an improved permitting process can be implemented. The pork industry acknowledges rapid growth, but considers it good for farmers and the economy. Eldon McAfee, an agriculture law attorney for the Iowa Pork Producers Association, says environmental and health concerns are being addressed by the current system. He says a moratorium would devastate the industry and Iowa's economy, adding it's unneeded because the current permit system has worked for 16 years. Our news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.